Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, speak to us from your word and through the power of your Holy Spirit. And let the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts, be accepted unto thee, O God, our rock and redeemer. Amen. Again, as always, I am delighted and feel so humbled to be asked to bring the word this morning. I thank you so much, Father Chuck, for doing that. This week, especially tomorrow, we enter into the celebration of Epiphany of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Epiphany marks the manifestation of the light of God's revelation in incarnation. There are different ways of manifestation in which our Lord has been revealed. One of it is that Epiphany is celebrated by faithful saints to reflect on Christ's baptism. It is also to celebrate the miracle of Jesus at Cana of Galilee. Similarly, to remember the nativity of Jesus, and of course, very fundamental, the visit of the Magi. Epiphany also marks the revelation of Jesus as the Son of God and Savior of the world. So we see Jesus, beginning from Christmas, how he was born as an infant, how he was born in an inn, laid in a manger, which we celebrated here. He is now beginning to be manifested, to be revealed to people. But remember, soon after he was born, the eighth day he was presented in the temple like any other Jewish children. He was celebrated. Now he is revealed. Revealed to the whole world. In our text, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1, chapter 2, verse 1 through 12, the Magi visited the Jesus child. Two significant things happen at their visit. We are told that they bowed and worshipped Jesus. How can they worship an infant? Why worship an infant? Probably Jesus was just growing as an infant. He was learning how to walk, a toddler. Here are these wise men who came. But even before they arrived at this holy family, they were met with challenges. Herod the king asked them, go find this baby, go find this king, and let me know his whereabout, and I will also go there and pay my homage. But we are told that that was not true of King Herod. And after finding Jesus, they knew the intent of the heart of King Herod. They didn't go to him after worshiping Jesus. Significantly, They also presented gifts. One of the gifts they presented was gold. And we know gold is always a precious and durable metal. Most kingdoms in the world will count their riches according to how much gold they have in the bank. They got gold, frankincense, and myrrh. All these three symbolizing Jesus' kingship, his own kingship. Where does he come from? Is it only the king of the world that he came from the family of David? But far from that, he is symbolized as King of Kings. He also to symbolize his divinity. And then the third one is his future suffering and death. Mind you, he was an infant, visited by these wise men, the Magi. Jesus, brothers and sisters, will not come back again as an infant. No, we're not going to see him as an infant. He comes as a King of Kings. He returns as King who will judge the living and the dead. He has finished all his work of salvation. But here also, we celebrate his baptism. And in celebrating Epiphany by Christians throughout the world, we are focused on the baptism of Jesus. When the Holy Spirit descended upon him as the Son of God, the Father proclaimed him as his Son. In his baptism, again, is another revelation, another manifestation to the whole world. Behold, the Savior has come. John the Baptist was already baptizing in the River Jordan. High priest came, the public came, the military came, the Roman soldiers. All people were there. He was baptizing everyone and calling for repentance. Repent, for the kingdom of God is near. And one of it was that he was going to point out Jesus Christ, to reveal Jesus to the world. And when Jesus appeared to be baptized, he was seen by everyone. And John said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world cometh." Here is Jesus. And Jesus entered the water and requested to be baptized. If I were John, I would still do like John the Baptist. Why would I baptize you, Master? But he said, for the scripture to be fulfilled, baptize. And our Lord was baptized. And behold, a voice came from heaven, the voice of God, again to reveal Jesus as Savior of the world. Said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." Jesus was baptized to fulfill all righteousness. Remember, baptism, therefore, is to be encouraged by all Christians. And this is for the cleansing and forgiveness of sins. We are to publicly declare faith in Christ, live our lives as followers and to preach Jesus crucified and Jesus resurrected from the dead. In celebrating Epiphany, again, it symbolizes the light of the world, calling all Christians, all believers, to live as reflections of the light in their communities and wherever they find themselves. Jesus is the light of the world. He referred himself also as light of the world. Look at John's Gospel, chapter 8, verse 12. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Are we still in darkness? Many people in the world today are really in darkness. Oh, you will not know what is darkness. Travel to Africa. When you travel to my country, sometimes we have light for only 8 hours a day. In the midst of watching television, in the midst of reading, the light will go off. And the company that gives us light is called National Electricity Power Authority. But I said to them, instead of saying NEPA, I said, never expect power always. But that is darkness. When you are in dark, you don't see. But here is Jesus, light of the world, shining to bring out, to bring all of us out of darkness. How much light do you have in yourself as a child of God, as one who professed Jesus, as one who called Jesus by name? How much light can be seen in your life that you are a Christian? Very important. Again, Jesus is light as contained in John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 4. And he said, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Brothers and sisters, if you are yet to experience this light, Jesus is calling you for that experience. So, in celebrating Epiphany, we should do it therefore as a joyful occasion to remember all people, inviting believers to deepen their faith and share the good news. It is very important that as we receive Jesus as Savior, we cannot afford to be selfish and not to make other people know this Jesus. It's like being saved, and you are quiet about being saved, and you allow others to die in sin. It is a command that every Christian should make Jesus known. It is not to priest alone. No. It's not for anyone special. It's for every Christian called to be children of God, to take the gospel, to be witness, a witness to our Lord Jesus Christ. Some weeks back, when I came, I went to this place called Green. It's green, but it's spelled differently. An And I finished what I was doing, and I was standing outside. Here young men or young adults came. Young ladies and young men, young adults came and encircled me. They said, I am in trouble today. And they said to me, they asked me, please, may we ask you a question? What question now? And as a foreigner, I was touching my pocket to know if my passport is there. And I look at them, and they said, sir, do you know where you are going when you die? I look at them very carefully. I said, of course, yes, I know where I'm going. I'm going to meet my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I said, are you sure? Of course, I am sure. I'm going to meet my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Then we went into further discussion, and I said to them, I became a Christian on 29 July 1971. I refused to tell them who I am. But I was so gladdened, so happy that young men and women like this could come out openly to reach out to their people. You know, Green is a busy place. And it's a good place to reach out with the gospel. Brothers and sisters, what I am saying is that we all are committed to reaching out with the gospel of Christ. Anywhere we find ourselves, whatever occasion we find ourselves, be a witness as a disciple of Jesus. And that is the spiritual importance of Epiphany. That Jesus Christ is to be celebrated in our lives every day, giving our time totally to God and accepting the will of God through Jesus Christ every day as we walk as his followers. I don't know how much time you have in the Lord Jesus Christ, but I said repeatedly that the business of being a Christian is 24 hours. There isn't a time when you remove Jesus and keep him aside. You can't say no. Of course, I watch some people, some Christians, when they are really going to fight, you know, quarrel can come. They say, now, let's forget about this Jesus. Leave Jesus out of this. Or they say, no, this is business. Business has nothing to do with Jesus. Let's keep Jesus aside and do business. I say, no, you are getting it wrong. Jesus is in everything that a Christian is. Everything about us is Jesus. You can't afford to put Jesus at any time away. So we must worship Jesus. We must follow Jesus. And look at the verse that was used in the children's sermon. In Matthew chapter 6, 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Very important. First and foremost, if there's anything we must do, if there's anywhere we must go, is seeking the kingdom of God. Honestly speaking, our living here on earth will be worthless if we don't qualify for this kingdom. No, it means nothing to live here. There's no point in all the struggles. Everything we will do, Solomon said, all is vanity. Look at what he tried. He tried women, so many of them. And he said, all is vanity. He tried riches. All is vanity. Because he must return to his creator. Brothers and sisters, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Constantly remain in tune with the Lord Jesus Christ. And in doing that, we are reminded again in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22, 23, and 24, which says, put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. As we begin this year, the year of our Lord, 2025, I would ask you, and indeed all of us, to make priority the spread of God's kingdom, that we build God's kingdom, that we remember God's own fame in our life, that we promote God's righteousness through our Lord Jesus Christ, committing ourselves to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Let us make the priority of using Scripture as the authority in our ministry. Here is this Bible. Everything that we need for faith is contained in this. Sorry, I call it a manual. I realize that anything you buy, if it has to do with technology, there's a manual. But this is the manual for us. If we follow it, we will be saved. But there are many people, honestly, they read Scripture as if Scripture are only tales. Far from that. This is the living Word of God. It should teach our lives. It should model and control our lives. Whatever we do, the Scripture should guide us. I don't know how much you study Scripture, but it's very important. I must give testimony to all those I lived with when I'm here, that most of the times we talk is about Scripture and the kingdom. Fantastic. I enjoy that so much. And that is it. That we study Scripture, use Scripture, and live in godliness and in holiness of life. That is the only way we will be saved, to evangelize and to make discipleship. Discipleship should be the core of our work. Make Christ known and make disciples. And be involved in mission outreach. The Lord Jesus Christ returns. But I want to challenge us. If we must quicken the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, honestly, we must reach out with the gospel. There are many people who are yet to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and make decision whether to follow Jesus or not. And those of us who are Christians today are committed to doing that. The Lord has given us light and purpose to live, to love, to learn, and serve him in the building of his kingdom and establish his throne and righteousness in the hearts of all people. He wants us to pay heed to the word, like I said, and put off the old man sin in us, get rid of sin, put on the new man created in holiness, and seek his face in prayer and praise. How do we go to the Lord in prayer? Do we go in praise? They bow down and they worship the Lord. Ephesians chapter 2 said, every knee must bow and every tongue must confess that Jesus is Lord. And again it says that all authority has been given to our Lord in heaven and on earth and even under the earth. He is in charge. If you have this Lord, if you have Jesus who has all authority, what is your problem again? What is the problem? Everything you commit to him, walk in him daily and be a true Christian. You see, the major thing I see in the lives of Christians is actually being true Christians. We have large followership. In Africa, we have large followership. In the Anglican Church alone, in Nigeria, we have 22 million people. 22 million Anglicans. On average Sunday, in my cathedral, we used to have like 500, 600. And when we have big occasion, we host like 3,000. Mind you, hosting 3,000, sometimes you don't have loudspeakers. Sometimes there is no power. And mind you, no tea break. I will spend like 4 or 5 hours. But I ask, in all this, how many can truly say they are truly called Christians? What is the quality of our lives? Are we really following this Jesus? Are we really striving, walking towards making the kingdom of God? God wants us to abide in him. He wants us to use the word of God and be reminded of the scripture. All these things will be added to you. Greater measures is his mercy, his grace, his faithfulness, his love, his healing, his protection, his provision, power, and sanctifying grace. God and our God is faithful. God is faithful. God's message hasn't changed since the Old Testament. God does not change. His message has not changed. So people will be held accountable for their unproductiveness, for their unproductive lives. We will all be accountable. God doesn't ask us to avoid sin, but to be proactive in following him. We are to follow Jesus. John's gospel compared people who claim they believe God but don't live out their lives for God as unproductive trees that will be cut down. Look at this text. I like this text. John 15:4 says, abide in me and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. And verse 5 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. And verse 6 says, if anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. God forbid that on the last day we are thrown away. To be fruitful for God, we must obey his commands, resist temptation, actively serve and help others, and share our faith. I want to conclude with a question. How does your life bear fruit for God? I will repeat. How does your life bear fruit for God? In all we do, all of God's creation gives him glory, praises. We praise him for his very existence. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, the light of the world, will turn the hearts of the nations to God. They will be drawn to the kingdom by light, and that they will see this light in us. Let people see the light of God in us. Whatever you do, wherever you go, let people just look at you and say, this, she must be a believer. He must be a believer. That in itself is a testimony that your character is the character of Christ. Your life is the life of Christ. That you are a Christian. You can be seen and people can testify about you. People can see you as a witness. May the Lord bless our hearts in this new year, as we put off the old sin and put on the Spirit of God day by day, following him always, 24 hours, being in the Spirit and following Jesus Christ. In the name of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.